Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Jeffrey's still sort of on vacation. He does his show in the afternoon, but George has been with us all week. He's with us again today. Today on the radio show, we got, busy day today. We got John Martin in the next segment. And then we have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And then we have Sam Hardiman. So we have a busy show. All three people, by the way, right, for the Daily Memphian in one form or another. John's part-time kind of there, but he's got an interesting piece up today about PJ Haggerty. Chris has his weekly review of what's coming out in film. That's up at the Daily Memphian, and Sam's covering the city every single day, like the intrepid reporter he is. So we got a really busy Daily Memphian-filled day today. I'm feeling pretty good about myself because I was on with Gabe yesterday, and he asked me to weigh in on the debate that is sweeping the nation, that has captured the nation. And it was who would win, a silverback gorilla or 100 men. And I was pleased. I was thrilled. I was really, it was what made the highlight of my day yesterday. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that this debate was happening, which shows that I'm making progress and being a little less attached to the ridiculousness of social media. Were you aware of the debate?
I was aware of the debate mainly because it was starting to peak over the weekend when exit interviews were happening. And I was just sitting there refreshing to Michael and Drew.
I see. And so, and it was popping up.
It was
and
the, coming up and along
it was, yeah, well, and are you, which would you vote for? I'm 100 men. Isn't it easy? I don't even think it's close.
I don't know. The thing that, gorillas are really strong.
Yeah, but it's one gorilla. It's one gorilla and 100 men. If you're telling me five, anyway, I'm not going to get into it. My whole point is I was really thrilled that I'm personal growth. Then on the subject of personal growth, I had a little setback this morning because I was driving into work and I was listening to Unsportsmanlike, as I do, the show that precedes ours. And they were, and evidently this has been a long running debate on their show. And it never occurred to me that one of them had, when he was filling up his car with gas, had, because he had been shamed into it by other people on the show, stayed with the car as it was being filled up with gas, as opposed to heading on into the convenience store to get a Diet Coke and Doritos or whatever you would get at the day. Right. And it had truly, I'm 63 years old. It has never occurred to me that it is bad form, reckless, or anything else to, when I am stopped and filling up my car, to leave it and go in and do my shopping and then come back with my tank filled. They were talking about it as if it's an incredible risk to leave your car. And sort of like, if you leave your car in that circumstance to go into the convenience store, that it's sort of the moral equivalent of not putting your shopping cart back. Like that it's just something you were, as a citizen, you're supposed to stay with your car. Did you know you were supposed to? Now, I'll tell you, the one circumstance where I will do this is if it's a really busy gas station and you see that it's a busy gas station and people are waiting and whatever else. Sure, you don't want to leave your car hanging out there filled for whatever, you know, particularly if you're, you know, taking a while to get your Subway order, in there, or you're having a particularly leisurely trip to the facilities or whatever it is, then you don't want your car hanging out there. But otherwise, it never, am I an idiot? It never has occurred to me that it was either dangerous or bad form to leave your car when you are filling up with petrol.
I don't think it's ever actually occurred to me.
Which do you do? Do you go, will you happily abandon your car to go in? You're on a road trip. You stop at a Pilot.
Sure.
Whatever spot it is along the way.
A Love's is perfect.
A Love's is perfect. You stop at a Love's. Would it occur to you to go, which do you do? Do you stay with your car while it fills up with gas? And then do you, like a dork, get in your car, go park it in a regular parking place, and go in and get your delicious pizza under the light that's turning around at Love's? Do you do that?
Honestly, I think it's kind of 50-50, because the other place that I like to stop at if I'm on a long road trip is Buc-ee's. But Buc-ee's is incredibly busy.
Well, I can see. Okay, so that's different then. But just in a normal course, you do stay with your car, fill it up. Typically, you stay with your car, wait till it clicks off, put it back, and then go park and go in?
I've done both.
But you have done when you've done the other, do you feel like a bad person that you're violating a rule? Do you look over your shoulder and think, I hope no one sees me, skulk off into the store?
No, not at all.
It's just a natural thing to do. I did it yesterday morning. On the way to the radio station. I didn't know this was a thing.
Neither did I.
It was even a thing. And evidently, maybe it's because those, and I mean, we are both originally, sort of. Are you a Northeasterner? Where are you? You grew up in Mississippi and but also
Florida.
My parents are from New York. Yeah, you come from good Northeastern stock. But maybe it's because the people, like they said up there, there's all kinds of signs saying, don't leave your car. Of course, in New Jersey, it's the craziest place in the world. You can't even pump your own gas. That's just a full employment plan that they have up there. You can't even pump your own gas. So maybe that's it. But it's ridiculous. Maybe it's because they don't have good fried chicken at gas stations there, and so they're not in a hurry to get in to get to the fried chicken. Could be a cultural Southern thing. Anyway, I was feeling so good about myself on the one hand, and then I'm starting to question everything. On the other hand,
we can't let the show before
no,
us
define
shame
us,
you.
But there are times that I do. There are times, and it's interesting.
It's a good listen.
I've been doing this show. I don't know how many years now. I really don't know how many years now. 12? Maybe John probably knows. We'll ask John. John will be on next. I never used to mention the shows that preceded this one. Honestly, I think it started, it was Mike and Mike. And I listened to Mike and Mike, although it was the tail end of Mike and Mike. It wasn't Mike and Mike in their absolutely glory years. I don't know if they hated each other yet at that point. But I listened to Mike and Mike. But honestly, I think the current show, although they can irritate me at different times, that's part of the job. I'm sure I irritate a lot of you at different times. I think it's the best version of the the shows that have been there for a while, since Mike and Mike, honestly. I think they're pretty good. And so I enjoy it. It opened my mind. It caused me to question things. And that's what I guess this is supposed to do. Anyway, all right. I have two things I don't know how to feel about. So maybe you can help me out here. One is, as we mentioned yesterday, the Vols were in town last night over at the Botanic Garden, right? They were here with their caravan, and it was Josh Heupel was here, and Rick Barnes was here, and Kim Caldwell was here, and Danny White was here, and that's great. And I bet there was a big crowd, and everything else. And as you would expect, Rick Barnes was asked about playing Memphis in basketball. And he said, it's nowhere near being talked about now.
And
no surprise, we know that there was a little bit of a set to between Penny and Rick Barnes. We know that Rick Barnes was a big fan of Tubby. and really played Memphis, set up the series because of Tubby. And then there was this falling out between, there was words were exchanged. And honestly, Penny used the most, you know, get the F out of here. It was a little disrespectful, I think, honestly.
Pointed.
If it was certainly pointed. And I think Penny has subsequently said he regrets it. A lot of the things he said, he's figured out, he's learned on the fly. But I'll tell you, and listen, I understand this is just true. It is 100% true that it once was the case that in football, Memphis 100% needed the Vols more than the Vols needed Memphis. That was a totally no-win proposition for Tennessee to play Memphis in football. The only thing that was possible to come out of that was a humiliating loss, and a victory would get you nothing. Honestly, it's a little bit like every conference game Memphis plays in basketball, right? Right.
Yeah.
So there is nothing to be gained here and only
everything
things
to
be
to
lost.
Lose.
And sure enough, that one year when they lose, Memphis fans love to bring it up and love to marinate in it and whatever else. And I totally do understand. And then it used to be, though, the flip side was, and it wasn't, the gap wasn't as large, but it used to be that Memphis had more to gain in basketball because it was, let's be honest, it has been the historically better program, certainly if you measure by Final Fours, 3-0, right? So, or appearances in national championship games, or like whatever. It has been the more accomplished program in history. Vols have had their good years. There seems to be a ceiling on it, at least so far, although that may change. It seems that the environment is certainly changing. But the big thing was back then, recruiting was so much proximity based, and the best players came out of Memphis. And so Tennessee wanted into Memphis to have a presence in Memphis. And so Tennessee was really more motivated to play Memphis in basketball than Memphis was to play Tennessee in basketball. And so one way you could actually get a football game is to agree to play both. Well, now it's 100% true. This is 100% true that Tennessee has nothing to gain in football and certainly doesn't need it in basketball. Not when you play in the best conference in the world, and historically, one of the greatest conferences that has ever been in terms of the SEC this past year. Not when you're playing Florida routinely, and this version of Alabama routinely, and this version of Auburn routinely, and freaking Kentucky, and John Calipari, and Arkansas, and on and on and on. You don't need Memphis on your schedule. That is very clear. But it would be fun.
It would be a lot of fun.
It would be fun. You don't need it. But would it be better to have it than not? Certainly for Memphis fans, it would. And honestly, I may be wrong here. I think Tennessee fans would enjoy it too. Every time they've played here, certainly they played here. I've been to Knoxville and covered this game. There's a lot of passion in that game. I've been to FedEx Forum and the Pyramid to cover that game. There's a lot of passion when they play that game. So, and it does, and there, it doesn't hurt you at all. You are literally playing a competitive non-conference schedule anyway. You're not just playing schlock in your non-conference schedule. You're playing reasonable games against reasonable teams. And so it doesn't, and there's no ignominy. If you lose to Memphis, that's not an ignominious strike against you or anything else. There's literally no reason to do it except to be a jackass. Really, that's the only reason, just to be small. You don't want to be a good colleague of your fellow state school. You don't want to be nice. You don't want to say, hey, our fans would like this. Their fans would certainly like this. Let's do this for the good of the state. The only reason to do it is to be small. Literally, that's the only reason. It's to be, you don't need it. Clearly, you do not need it. But the reason to not do it
seems
is to be petty.
Yeah, more or less. That's
there's a very good reason to not play Memphis in football. Very good reason. It can only hurt you. There is no good reason not to play Memphis in basketball except you're being small.
Yeah, or
is there another good reason? If someone can come up with another good reason, by all means tell me.
No, I can't think of any other good reason.
So,
because like you said, the other part of it is when we get to tournament time, obviously they take non-conference schedule, be that wins and losses in the non-conference, into account. Less so for the SEC, but Memphis is still going to be a quad one school.
It's a perfectly credible. It's a perfectly credible.
That is a
game
good
to have in
non-conference
your program,
game.
The other reason is that it plays into the larger struggle of listen, of the sort of Tennessee Memphis thing that has gone on for forever, and I struggle with it because we have listeners here, loyal listeners who are Tennessee fans, and I appreciate them as listeners, and they're good Memphians and they're Grizzly fans and they care about the city and they I know lots of Tennessee graduates. This place is filled with Tennessee graduates, and I should want them to be happy, right? But I struggle with it. I know historically there was this idea that, you know, Tennessee called Memphis Tiger High and looked down on Memphis and whatever else. And so I find myself that partly because Tennessee behaves in this way towards Memphis, I have a harder time feeling warmly towards the flagship state university of which many of my friends are graduates. I'm just confessing this. Now, John is open about it. John is like, yeah. I will never let my kid go to... Listen, it's an incredibly good school. I think it's getting better all the time academically.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Ben, growing up, one of his best friends. Well, the official sex therapist at the Jeff Calkins Show, Jennifer Valley, three of her sons, I think, all went to
UT.
Two of them graduated from UT, and they love UT. Ben's best friend, Wise Rudolph, went to UT. Like, there's so many UT people. I wish I didn't have mixed feelings about UT at times. Because here's the other thing. UT is a colossus relative to Memphis.
Yeah.
But it's not a colossus in the world. It's not like rooting against, you wouldn't, like, I root against the Giants. Because I'm an underdog guy, right? Like, so I kind of rooted against Alabama at their best, right? Like, I root against the Giants.
Obviously,
I'm an underdog guy. Tennessee is, in some ways, it's kind of the best of all worlds because it has lots of resources, but it's also a little bit of an under. Like when they play Georgia, they're kind of an underdog. Like they're or when they play Alabama, they're a little bit. They got some work to do in order to. It's not if you choose to be a UT fan, you're not just. It's not like rooting for the Yankees. You know, historically, or you from now the Dodgers, it's not like that. And so, it's another reason the Barnes thing's bothering me. And listen, I understand Penny was rude to him. He was disrespectful to him. He was, but whatever. How long are you going to carry a grudge, man? Like, really? How long are you going to carry a grudge? Seems silly to me. Okay. So then that's one thing I'm struggling with. Second thing I'm struggling with, we have the John, we'll talk to him about the PJ Haggerty story. He called me yesterday. He said, I'm hearing that Memphis really is, the door really is still open for PJ Haggerty. And he's written about that. And listen, when we learned that he was entering the portal, the words were the door's still open, right?
Yeah.
But that's what you say, you know? Hey, maybe someday we'll get back together again. Like, what? You know, whatever. The door is still open. No one really believed he'd be walking through that still open door. So now we have two maybes out there. We got Dane Danger. We know the appeal has been, for a waiver has been filed. Mm-hmm. And we got PJ Haggerty. The door is still open. They're a little apart on price. Basically, he hasn't gotten the money that he wanted. That seems to be the story.
Yeah.
According to Parth and to John Martin. And over at the Daily Memphian. And so am I supposed to get my hopes up? Am I supposed to allow myself to get my hopes up or not? Or even put it this way. There are five basketball players in this city who we might wonder if they're going to be back next year, if we'll see them play again wearing a Memphis jersey. They are Ja, Jaren, Dez, PJ, and Dane Danger. Rank them right now in your level of confidence that you will see them again playing in a Memphis jersey.
One to five.
Well, who are you most confident again that you will see again playing in a Memphis jersey?
Ja Morant. 100%. I'm the most confident. In, yeah, absolutely. Just based on what we've heard from Kleiman,
How about the watch what you look for? With Ja, I have absolute confidence that they would like him. But what if he asks for, like, I think I'm most confident that Jaren will play again. I'll see Jaren play again.
That's fair, too.
Because
100%.
Now, there's the looming contract issue there, but
he is still under contract for next season.
Yes, but as Jessica Benson pointed out, listening to Jason and John yesterday, she was on with Jason and John, that could very well be a thing that if you have to ultimately do something with Jaren so he doesn't walk out the door for nothing, that could be a trade deadline next year thing. Doesn't have to be this summer.
True.
Or it could be some kind of a sign and trade at the end of next year.
Yeah.
And so then you're like, okay, maybe Dez is the one that I'm least confident that he'll be back, except for who's giving you anything for Dez that you want.
You know? I mean, that's always
that you want, you know, for Dez. I'll say this, though. I am more confident that I will see any of them. And I think I would rank them most confident that I'll see Jaren play as a Grizzly.
Yeah.
Then Dez, then Ja. But I'm...
All three of those are pretty high confidence, I think.
And the next two...
This is kind of where it's interesting.
I'll rank the next one. The next most likely, I think, that he will be a Tiger. I mean, that I'll see him play again is Haggerty.
Me too. And because I don't trust the NCAA to grant a waiver that would force them to change their own rules, period. I just don't trust the NCAA because that's who this comes down to.
Maybe this is the chip on the shoulder thing. I certainly don't want it because it's Memphis. You know?
Oh,
maybe if it were Duke asking for this waiver or whatever else, or that program that at UNC, which got away with the biggest thing ever. We're literally running a fictitious academic program to keep people eligible for years. We got no jurisdiction over that, says the NCAA. Can't do anything about that. But Derrick Rose, even though Memphis didn't know that he didn't take his exam, we're bringing the hammer down there. Strict liability is what we're going to call it. We're going to call it strict liability. Anyway, we agree that the two Tigers are the least likely to see them play again.
Yes.
And you think more likely to see Haggerty than Dane Danger.
Yes, agree.
Yeah, I think so too.
In a confidence level type situation, because one of them is up to a player and agent as opposed to what the NCAA ruling is going to be.
By the way, on the earlier topic that we were talking about on Twitter, can't tell you how many friends got their whips stolen leaving their car running unattended at the pump. Well, I don't leave it running.
Oh, no, of course.
I wouldn't leave it running and unattended. No.
If I do that and I walk in, because all I have to do to lock it is just touch the handle, yeah.
This is Jeremy who tweeted this. I have a very effective anti-theft device. It's called driving a 2005 dented ass minivan. And it has worked 100%. Like, so far, it's been foolproof. Now, watch this. I'll walk outside here, and my minivan will be gone. I get that. You stay with your car so it won't be stolen. I literally have no fear that my car will ever be stolen. And here's the other thing. Do you feel like this is a terrible thing? Would you feel different about it if you were in Memphis than if you were driving, through, Virginia on the way to the East Coast, something? Would you feel rural Virginia? Would you be more like it is this was not what I said here was independent of location. Whether you think you're going to get your car stolen. It was more just the sort of, but we have had a
was it the courtesy aspect? You know, the thought of
leaving your car unattended and unlocked is crazy. Leaving it unattended and running is insane. I would never leave it running. No, running. I don't leave it running when I'm gassing up. I don't have my car running. That is one rule that I don't do. I don't know if there's any real danger there that your car is going to explode and catch on fire if you have it running while you put gas in it, but I don't.
Enough of a risk.
I don't trust that. I don't trust that. So, no, but here Chris says, I don't have faith the auto shutoff will always work, so I don't want to come back with a pool of gas under my car. And every gas station has signs telling you not to leave the pump unattended for this very reason. I've been doing this my whole life, and I've never come back to a puddle of gas on my car. And not only that, I resent it. Those pumps that don't let you have the hook, you know, that don't have the thing where you have to stand there. You know what I do? I'm so angry at that. I take my wallet out and I wedge it in there. So I'm like, you're not going to stop me from being lazy. I'm going to figure out a way to be. And I wave. And now then I'll stay with that because there's no automatic off then.
Yeah, that's risky.
Okay. The third thing that has been bothering me is how to feel about the Rookie of the Year results. Stephon Castle is your Rookie of the Year. That has been announced. Jalen Wells third, Zach Edey fifth. It's interesting. Stephon Castle, like there are various team players I was right about, various players I was wrong about in the draft last year. I thought Reed Sheppard was just going to tear it up, and he can't play. He can't get off the bench. It's really more state of the roster issue than his own abilities. Whatever. Yes. We'll see what happens.
He's had flashes.
He's had flashes, but I expected more. Even given their deep roster, I expected more. Agreed. Stephon Castle, I was at the time deeply unhappy that he ended up in San Antonio. I said he'll just be perfect for San Antonio. This is awful. He's going to be great. And
he's so much fun to watch.
He's tremendous. He is tremendous. It's funny, though. I was reading the Hollinger piece a little bit ago on the Rookie of the Year stuff, and he basically said that he thought the most effective rookie was Jalen Wells. But that when you're voting, you take into account 5 years from now, will it look silly that this person, like, you will have wanted, you want to vote for the person who's not only had a very good rookie season, graded on a curve this year because no one had that good a rookie season, had a very good rookie season, but
and
looks
projects.
Like they will become something, right? They will become something. You're not going to look back and say, well, that was a stupid Rookie of the Year vote, right? And future Hall of Famer Stephon Castle in here, and you all voted for Jalen Wells, who had a perfectly my own view is I don't think that should matter at all. It's who had the best rookie season. And everyone talks about this other factor that is taken into account as if it's totally natural to take it into account. I think it's invalid. I don't think you should be taking into account who's going to be the better long-term player. It's about who had the best rookie season. And on that front, Jalen Wells literally guarded the best player on every team as a freaking second round pick. Like, I know that this is a good summer to beat up on Zach Kleiman, but my God, what a draft pick this was. Holy smokes. Plucks this out of the second round. It's just unbelievable. Out of this draft, the second round gets a guy who is totally unfazed, who guards the best player on the other team every single game, does it with really reasonable effectiveness, and when he gets hurt, a lot of pointing to that is another reason the season ended. That's how valuable he was for you. Like, just like, what a genius draft pick. And by the way, I think it's reasonable. I think you can make the argument that had Taylor Jenkins been fired last summer, like, in the end, we know he should have been. I don't mean because he's bad. I mean because if this is the way it was going to go, if you were going to have to fire him with 9 games to go, there's going to be this confusion about which system, whatever else, should have fired him last summer. I think if you had fired him last summer and made Isolo the coach, which no one would have, because I mean, they weren't going to make Isolo the head coach, I don't believe, straight out of Finland, but maybe. But if you had done it, don't you think Zach Edey would be your Rookie of the Year today?
Probably. That was, as soon as I saw the scale of the voting be that 1 through, let's just say 5, because we saw that Edey came in at 5th, my first thought is, man, since Isolo got in here and was coaching, he averaged pretty darn close to a double-double and had multiple, 20 rebound games in the 9-10 games?
I think his candidacy was destroyed by Taylor Jenkins.
There were also the injuries there. He did miss a handful of games with the facial injury, and I think there was another, an upper body as well. But besides that, since Isolo got him, he's been one of the best players on the court, just noticeable.
Anthony saying, texted us, appreciate it, Anthony. Thanks for listening. Saying that the Ja quote, and this is something Chris mentioned yesterday, was the careful what you wish for thing was probably in response to the Tim McMahon quote.
Yeah.
And the Tim McMahon quote was, when I'm talking to people around the league, GM, exec, scouts, I don't have people telling me they think Ja is a top 10 player when he's healthy anymore. It's funny
that's
though.
Reasonable. What,
is that, but what's, is that a, yeah. And so that very well could have been, it's funny. Maybe not. I think you could be a top 15 player and still be damn good. I don't know.
That's the thing. Top 10, top 15, top 15, 20, whatever.
Yeah, I'll take it.
We're talking about Ja anyway.
Give me a healthy, I'll take it.
Yes.
He's also, you know what he is and most fun to watch player? Top one.
Oh, my goodness.
He's top one player.
Whatever he does.
Top one. If he were
electric.
Yeah. And so if you get a, I don't know, Jaylen Brown rank higher, if he, whatever, who's more fun to watch? Whatever. Pick whoever you want. Whatever. He's incredibly fun to watch. So I've just been struggling with a bunch of things this morning. And now I feel a little bad that I'm leaving my car at the gas pump.
We just keep coming back to
but
this.
But does it ever happen that people come back to a puddle of gas? Who the hell, have you ever come, you've done this, you leave half the time you leave your car, a third of the time you leave your car? Have you ever come back? Maybe you don't like snacks as much as I do. That could be it. I really like snacks.
Also, most of the time that I do this, funny enough, a lot of the time, this is actually what I end up doing a lot of the time, because this just sparked it. Sometimes,
don't say spark in this.
Spark is a dangerous word
when we're talking about filling up your car.
Instead of pumping the gas and then going in, I have a roundabout idea. I have a pretty small car, pretty small tank of gas, roundabout idea that how much it costs to fill up. I will go in, get a snack, get a drink, go to the clerk and say, hey, can I get, however
and
much
money.
Much money
on gas? You do that? Yes. I never do that.
I just take care of it on the front.
I guess if you get gas at Costco or something, you don't do that either. It's a separate place where you have to stand there and fill up, and there's a line and whatever else. There are different circumstances here. Anyway, I wonder how John Martin does it. Does John Martin leave his car to go fill up?
I see what he drives. I think he leaves his car. But then again, it's John.
Oh, you think? Oh, because it's a nice car. He drives. He has an Audi. Doesn't he have an Audi?
Believe he does.
It's an Audi. It's an SUV Audi thing. So he doesn't leave it because he's there to protect it. He stands there to protect it.
I could see that, but we also know John.
He wants his Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
All right, busy show. We got John Martin, then Chris Harrington, then Sam Hardman. If you're selling your house, you know what you do? You can call Josh Heisa, and you can leave it. You leave your house just in the same way. Totally feel good about that. It's Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty. Phone number is 901-461-8147. This is a great time to be selling your house. Spring, people are moving. They're getting ready to make the move over the summer. Maybe they're moving from out of town. Maybe moving to another part of town. This is when people are doing it. So Josh Heisa would be the person. Just meet with him. Honestly, just meet with him. I think you'll be impressed with him as I was with him. Flexible fees, no upfront cost. And let him talk to you about the way he will market your house. Let him talk to you about the way that he will market your house. And I think you will be come away persuaded that he is the guy. But if you want to go the other route, if you want to just not have to deal with any of the fuss or muss, he will make you an instant cash offer for the full value of your home. Unlike the sort of random, unrequested solicitations that you get from out-of-towners, we'll sell your home for, whatever, two-thirds of the price or half the price, we'll buy your home. He will give you a instant cash offer for the full market value of your home. So whatever however you want to go about it, Think about calling Josh and the team at Keller Williams Realty. It's Josh Hysa, 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers.com. Talk to John Martin. He wrote a piece about this real possibility that PJ Haggerty might be coming back. We'll talk to him about that and more. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by John Martin. Jason, John, every single day from 11 until 2. John, when you are, you're going to be a sports dad at some point, right? Are you going to model yourself after Tyrese Halliburton's dad? Is that the kind of dad you're going to be? I can see it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would never go as far as he did.
That was crazy.
To get in the face of Giannis like that on the court, like, I would never, ever do that. I mean, like, if I was sitting down, you know, and, you know, I had a relationship with a guy, you know, and like, if I was on, like, the baseline and he kind of, like, was around me, I might, like, you know, playfully heckle him or something, you know.
Right.
But I would never, like, you know, I would never do what Tyrese.
It's
you know,
crazy.
Credit to him. I mean, Tyrese Halliburton disavowed it, you know, pretty quickly in the post game.
Yes, he did. He said his dad was wrong.
I thought Giannis, you know, Giannis was respectful. You know, he kind of, you know, cut him up to pieces respectfully.
Yes, he did.
You know, so I thought it was just it's ridiculous behavior. Obviously, I'm sure my guess is alcohol was involved. You know,
it often is.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way you're doing that sober, right? Like, there's no way. There's no way. But thank God, you know, that wasn't T. Morant, because you know, it would be the lead story on MSNBC.
Well,
today.
It is kind of the lead story a lot of places. Like, I mean, it is getting attention. You think if it was T. Morant, it would be bigger than it is, though, than it currently is.
Oh my God, we'd have so many think pieces. We'd have so many, yes. But because Tyrese Halliburton and he doesn't have like the history necessarily. I mean, we're talking about it, but I just feel like it'd be a bigger thing.
Yeah. I can see that.
It is.
Okay, well, we were debating this real quick. We had some predictions. When you go to the gas station and you want Mountain Dew, and what else do you get to eat? What's your snack of choice at a gas station? You eat a lot of popcorn, right?
Popcorn is a solid one, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you want your Mountain Dew and whatever, cheese, white cheese, cheddar, popcorn, what do you get?
Smart foods is what I get.
Any smart foods. You want popcorn and Mountain Dew, and your car needs to be filled up. Do you fill up your car and then finish filling up your car and then go in, either like a total dork, move it to a different parking spot and then go in to get your Mountain Dew and your popcorn? Or do you, while the car is being filled up, go in and get your Mountain Dew and your popcorn?
I can't even imagine. I can't even believe that this is a debate.
But I don't know. Which side are you coming down on? I didn't know it was a thing. I always
There's no way I'm sitting. If I got to go into the gas station, if I'm going to get, I usually do, because I'm a caffeine addict, right? Like I have to,
right.
Like I drink probably 6 to 10 Mountain Dew, Diet Mountain Dew.
I know, I'm aware.
You know, like I don't drink coffee. So I have to have, some sort of replacement, But there's no way I'm sitting out there filling up my tank looking like a dumbass. when I can go in and get
I didn't know it was a thing either. But the unsportsmanlike show, they were talking about it like it's like whatever. Like you're a bad person if you leave your car.
You're just sitting there holding the damn pump like
right. Now it has been. Some people have said that. Okay. Some people have said they won't want to come out and see a puddle of gas because they don't trust the automatic thing to fill up. It is true. There's the whole theft.
People are so B&P.
Okay, how about the whole B&P? You drive a much nicer car. I'm never worried about my car getting stolen for obvious reasons. Honestly, they'd get in the car. Even if they got past the exterior, once they got into the interior, they're like, I got in the wrong car to steal. This is ridiculous. I'm getting out of here. It smells like dog, for God's sakes. I'm getting out of here. So
your car does have a certain odor.
Exactly, it smells like dog. Yeah, it does. I'll be totally transparent. No one's stealing my car.
They would steal your car.
They would steal your car, though.
Yeah, but I take my keys with me.
Right, you don't leave it running. Yeah, okay.
You leave the car running.
And let's be honest, is anyone going to stop steal it because you're standing there? Do you look like you're what?
If you want my car. You gonna steal it, whether I'm pumping the gas or not.
I think so too. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's fine.
You had a piece up today
at the Daily Memphian about PJ Haggerty and the door being open, and you called me about this yesterday. So they've said the news was like from the very beginning, the door is open. We haven't foreclosed, but I don't even think anyone thought the door was really open, or it's open. We just never thought there was any chance that he would walk through it. What did you learn yesterday, and what is your level of belief that he might actually, maybe, possibly walk through it?
Yeah, so like this stuff kind of gets done like piecemeal. Like some of this stuff was kind of like, reported on. Like maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was conventional wisdom. Maybe it wasn't. I just want to sum it all up in one nice and tidy piece.
We appreciate that.
Here's where things are with PJ Haggerty. Okay,
yeah. Go ahead.
Memphis. Is offering him $3 million. That's right. What they're offering him.
Seems like a lot of money to me.
I mean, especially when he made less than $1 million last year. It's a big raise.
That's a big raise, yeah.
Memphis has never gotten a raise like that. A 300% raise? Pretty good, pretty good. I know we're in the stagflation economy. That's still pretty damn good.
Well, there's some negative GDP data today, and the market's down 1.5%. So the economy, you'll be hard to know, is slowing down. So, but not for PJ Haggerty.
Not in the NIL economy. Yeah, okay. That ain't slowing down at all. And so Memphis feels good about that offer. PJ I'm not here to demonize these guys. You know,
no,
I'm not here to
not.
Demonize. You know, the parents. Because there's no guarantee that PJ Haggerty or Texas Tech's JT Toppin or you pick a guy that's still going to college, right? And it was the lowest number of early entrant draft guys this year since 2015. Because a lot of those guys are going back to school. And the reason why is because they know they can make more money,
right,
guaranteed in college basketball. And so I'm not going to demonize or blame PJ Haggerty or his family in any way.
Right.
For trying to get the absolute most money,
yep,
because there's no.
So Memphis has offered $3 million.
Yes, Memphis offered $3 million, and they want when they initially entered the portal. Granted, it was late, right? It was later, and they didn't enter until April 17th, which was 3 weeks after the season ended, almost a full month, And so I don't, but they wanted $4 million, they wanted $4.5 million, they wanted more, they wanted and they wanted to play point guard, full time or 70% of the time or whatever the report was. And they're not finding that out there. They're not finding $4 million. Florida said no. Florida said we're going to go somewhere else in a different direction. I don't think Texas is going to do it. NC State's kind of like on the fence about it. Like they're trying to figure it out. Like, do they, they may need them. They may have to do it. They may not. Ole Miss is.
They may do the $4 million. They may do the $4 million. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think they'll do the $4 million, but I think they could do three points. They're trying to figure all that out. But it's not clear. It's not clear. Ole Miss has an offer on the table, of about $3.5 million. But it's a little different. It's a little complicated because you do have to pay income tax in the state of Mississippi and. You start getting all that, like the offer's not that different than from what Memphis is doing. So look, here's what PJ Haggerty is doing. He's not going to make a decision anytime soon, I don't believe, because he's going through the draft process. So that's going to take, a while. That's going to take, he has until May 28th, I believe, or May 29th to pull his name out of the draft. I don't expect he'll stay in, but he's going to, obviously go through that process and try to extract as much leverage as he possibly can. From these schools, because that's his only play at this point.
But the money doesn't dry up. It's not like we've seen Memphis, for example. They've been filling out their roster, right? A bunch of guards, everything else. They still have the $3 million that they had when they first tried to approach.
So this would be sort of separate. This would be like funds raised, basically, right? Like this is like you're going to NIL donors, and you're outside of the budget. That's sort of like
this is the PJ Haggerty fund. This is we can do something special here. Okay, well, if it's for PJ Haggerty, I'll chip in. Yeah,
because there's like political will to get those guys back, right? But there's like a regular guy. I don't know who the hell they are. I have no connection to them. Fund, right?
Right,
and that's the $4.5 million, right?
Yeah,
and then there's like
that's what the fund is now, $4.5 million.
It's like four and a half. I mean, it's probably a little less than $4.5 million. I mean, it's,
right?
But it's in that neighborhood. And then you have this.
What's
this
the Danger Fund? Is that special fund too? Is that a special?
Correct. Yes, because people love Dane Danger, and they know how
it is easier to raise money for a dude when you've seen him. Destroy
you've
people.
Seen them produce at a high level. You've
okay, them, here you but, go, John. We were doing this exercise earlier then. There are five Memphis basketball players that we are wondering if they will play another moment in a Memphis jersey. Rank the likelihood that the three Grizzlies, the two Tigers, in order, who are you most confident you will see play in a Memphis jersey again, and who are you least confident you will see in a Memphis jersey again?
Okay,
I've stymied him. I said, I'll give you a moment to think about it. I said, Jaren, I'm most confident about. Dez next. Ja next. PJ Haggerty next. And Dane Danger next. Last. That was my order of most to least likely that I'll see them.
I'd say most confident.
Most confident.
Ja.
This is
most
John.
Confident, Ja.
Uh huh. That's what George said.
Then I would go. Actually, I would go Dane Danger.
Oh, you're pretty confident about Dane. You think he's going to get the waiver?
I don't know if he's going to get the
more
letter,
likely than that Jaren's coming back.
There's a lot of things you can do. There's a lot of things you can do. So I think Dane's got a real
wow.
chance. Actually, I'll go Ja, Jaren,
uh-huh.
then Dane, then Desmond, and then PJ. PJ last.
You think there's a greater than 50% chance that Dane will be on this team next year?
I would say greater than 50%. Yeah, I'd say that. Just because I think they're – I don't want to get into all of it, but there's a lot of things they could do. You went to Harvard.
Yeah, well, so did DeAndre Williams try to get a waiver. Were there things they could do then?
Not really. The climate was a little different.
Well, good news. That's a burst of good news. Okay, and then
I'm not trying, John. I don't want to oversell it, but
good. I think
there's more possibilities than I thought.
Okay, good. And then finally, I confess.
Remember, you went to Harvard. We may need your help.
I don't have. So did the new Prime Minister of Canada, by the way, our 51st state. The new governor of Canada is also he played goalie at Harvard. He only got into a game. I was reading this yesterday because there was a brawl and the first two goalies got like couldn't play or something. But anyway, so that's about right. The third string, you know, Canadian, whatever. Anyway, so okay. Last thing, I confessed at the start of the show, I don't have the hatred for UT that you have. I know lots of people who went to UT. I like them a lot. I like them to be happy. I have friends who were, you know, following them throughout the NCAA tournament in person. And my son Ben's, a lot of his friends went to UT. I don't hate UT, but I really do struggle with Rick Barnes and his approach to the Memphis basketball series, because there's lots of reasons for Tennessee not to play Memphis in football, right? It does them no good. I 100%, it's like every Memphis conference game. It's only notable if they lose. I wouldn't want to play Memphis in football either if I were UT. And I also understand that UT basketball doesn't need Memphis. They're in the greatest conference in the world. They don't need Memphis. But it's a fun game. People like it, and it doesn't hurt UT at all. So the only reason not to do it is if you're being small and petty. And I really struggle with Rick Barnes being small and petty, because it colors then my whole view of the Big Orange. And again, I don't have your hatred of it. What's your sense of Rick Barnes was in town and he reiterated, we're not close to even talking about it.
He didn't even let Parth finish the question. If you go back and now granted, I mean, Parth was kind of like filibustering, but he didn't even let Parth like say Memphis. And I think that his arrogance and the way that he kind of turned his nose up at it.
It smacks of the Tiger High stuff, you know, that
no,
once upon a time.
I mean, he didn't even dignify, you know, the place, you know, and he's in the city, you know, he's trying to, you know, they obviously deem that there's some value in coming to Memphis every single year as part
yeah.
of this.
Yeah, that's right. If you don't come then. Don't come. That's fine. Well, yeah, don't come.
Right. I mean,
just stay on that side of the state then. If you're going to be
some alums in Memphis, okay, that's even more reason to play the game, right?
They got lots of alums in Memphis.
So that's even because what don't you think they'd like to be here? Don't you think they'd like to go to the game?
Everyone enjoys that game when they play the game. Everyone enjoys it. Now I get Tennessee fans aren't clamoring for it. They like to hold it over Memphis that they aren't playing it, right? Whatever. And there was a time that Memphis wouldn't play it. Like it's this stuff goes. I'm not saying
that.
It's just small. That's it. It's small, and it is. You know, people are always like, "Get over yourself. We're all one state." Well, then you get over your. Like, it's just small. It's small. It's petty.
Yeah, I mean, it comes from a place of I think a lack of respect. You know, from that side, you know, for so many years until Memphis formed its own board of regents. You know, politically, they tried to hold the University of Memphis down. You know, despite really there not being that much of a difference.
Now you're getting me even more fired up now. This is terrible.
It's not terrible. I mean, it's just real talk.
And then there's the whole, I'm not going to that, you know, the whole, let's be honest.
Well, no, my kids can't go there. And I just find it extremely entertaining that there are legitimately Tennessee fans who have tweeted me today and said that Memphis basketball is beneath Tennessee. When they have three times the Final Fours. Memphis basketball has three times the final.
Well, it's not even three times, because three times nothing is still nothing.
That's right. They have nothing.
So it's not that it's three times the Final Four. It's they have literally nothing.
This is literally the greatest golden era of Tennessee basketball, and they haven't even come close to the best of Memphis. And I'm supposed to believe that.
Yeah, and it is a better program right now. It is, and I
right now
let's not be delusional. But it also
they
like they
so
are
many built-in advantages. They
it is
so
right. It's also just whatever. It's just the only reason not to play it is so you can take your ball and go home. It's just literally it doesn't hurt you to play it in any way, way, shape, or form.
It's good to play. Memphis was a 5 seed last year.
Right.
Memphis was a 5 seed. So you don't sit here and tell me that it would not benefit Tennessee to beat Memphis.
There's only one reason not to do it. It's because you're being a jackass. It's just true. There's no way around it. Our tape for Tennessee fans have to admit that. The only reason not to do it is to not do it. You know, the meanness is the point. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, gratify you or whatever the case may be. But it would actually help Tennessee because – it's a quad one opportunity on a neutral
and obviously
site.
they don't need it. We're being honest.
They don't need it.
But the only reason not to do it is smallness. Okay, we got to get out of here. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Go stand next to your car. If you're getting something framed, the Frame Corner is the place. I love that I have a chance to talk about the Frame Corner because I've sent multiple people now to the Frame Corner, and it's always great when you hear back. Went to the Frame Corner. Got this thing, love it, absolutely love it. They've done great by us. And I hear that now all the time. So if you have something special that you want framed, whether it's sports memorabilia, whether it's a collection of wedding photos, whether it's your grandfather's Arrowhead collection, whether it's your grandfather's American flag that he had, whatever.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.